was that? Let's go to chapter 12 of 1 Kings, please. Chapter 12, 1 Kings. Tonight's teaching title is Talking to Deaf Ear. Talking to Deaf Ear. I heard a great story about the president, late President Ted Roosevelt. Ted Roosevelt. Or Theodore Roosevelt. Anyway, he realized that a lot of people don't pay attention when he greet people in this frequent White House banquet. You know, as people coming in, the dignitary comes in, Theodore Roosevelt, Ted Roosevelt, and shaking hands, and he says something, people smile, and they say, oh, great, 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 and they don't pay attention what they say, what he says. So one day, that particular night, that he's going to have another banquet, so he decided, I'm going to do something different. So he was greeting people, shaking hands with a big smile on his face, he said, I murdered my mother-in-law this morning. And the people say, wow, that's great, Mr. President. And another person said, wow, that's just wonderful. And another person says, I'm so glad you did that. It goes on. Finally, the last person who was a foreign ambassador of the foreign countries, he heard it. He kind of looked at him, how terrible. He said, the president said, whoa, this guy got it. And then he said, I'm sure she had it coming. People in general don't listen. Isn't that true? People in general, they don't listen. It's not much different when it comes to spiritual condition. We don't listen to God enough. We are not careful to listen to Him and pay attention to Him. In last chapter, chapter 11, we've learned that God is raising up the Jeroboam, who was the kind of foreman of the labor force. He found that he's the guy who was called by God to start the new kingdom, northern kingdom in Israel, and with the 10 tribes. And the Rehoboam, who is the son of Solomon, is going to lead another nation called Judah. God told Jeroboam, if you follow me, if you follow my commandment, you will have a lasting kingdom. God's promise. Isn't that good? But yet he decides to do whatever he's going to do. And we will find out. And also the Rehoboam, we're going to find out that the other side, the Rehoboam, the king of Judah, he does something stupid. But he's going to learn a lesson for temporarily, and he's going to do something about it. So tonight we are going to learn how to hear from God, rather how to avoid not to turn our deaf ear to God. Let's start with a prayer. Heavenly Father, we come to you. First of all, we are asking your forgiveness for our sins, especially the time when we turn our deaf ear to you. When your Holy Spirit speaks to our heart, rather than listening, we are listening our own excuse, our own justification, our own argument. And we took our own argument as your will and did it our way. Of course, we pay the consequences for that. We're asking you to teach us so that we may not have that deaf ear anymore, but rather we have open ears and open heart to receive your guidance. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. First thing we find is a stuck-up king who turned his deaf ear to a sound advice. I find it in verse 1 of chapter 12 in 1 Kings. And Rehoboam went to Shechem, note the word Shechem, for all Israel had gone to Shechem to make him king. So it happened when Jeroboam, son of the Nebat, heard it, he was still in Egypt, for he had fled from the presence of King Solomon and had been dwelling in Egypt. that he sent, and they sent and called him. Then Jeroboam and the whole assembly of Israel came and spoke to Rehoboam, saying, by the way, it's hard to tell sometimes which one is which one. Rehoboam, Jeroboam. Jeroboam is the northern kingdom king, and Rehoboam is the southern kingdom king. Verse 4, your father made our yoke heavy, and now therefore the lighten the burdensome service of your father and his heavy yoke which he put on us, and we will serve you. So he said to them, depart for 3 days, then come back to me. And the people departed. Then King Rehoboam consulted the elders who stood before his father Solomon while he still lived, and he said, how do you advise me to answer these people? And they spoke to him, saying, if you will be a servant to these people today, and serve them, and answer them, and speak good word to them, then they will be your servant forever. Verse 8, would you underline verse 8, please? It is the point I'm trying to make here. But he rejected the advice which the elders had given, and consulted the young man who had grown up with him, who stood before him. Verse 9, and he said to them, what advice do you give? How should we answer these people who have spoken to me, saying, lighten the yoke which your father put on us? And the young man who had grown up with him spoke to him, saying, thus you should speak to these people who have spoken to you, saying, your father made our yoke heavy, but you make it lighter on us. Thus you shall say to them, my little finger shall be thicker than my father's waist. And now, whereas my father put heavy yoke on you, I will add to you your yoke, and my father chastised you with a whip, and I will chastise you with the scourges. Some of your versions say a scorpion. That is not, we know the cat of nine tails. What is the cat of nine tails? That's a different name of a whip. A scorpion is another name for the scourging. So some of different version has a different translation. Verse 12, so Jeroboam, all the people came to the Rehoboam on the third day as the king had directed, saying, come back to me the third day. Verse 13, and the king answered the people roughly and rejected the advice which the elder had given him. And he spoke to them according to the advice of young men, saying, my father made your yoke heavy, but I will add to your yoke. My father chastised you with a whip, but I will chastise you with the scourges. So the king did not listen to the people, for the turn of event was from the Lord, and he might fulfill his word, which the Lord had spoken by Ahijah the Silonite to the Jeroboam, the son of Nebat. Now when all Israel saw that the king did not listen to them, the people answered the king and saying, what share have we in David? We have no inheritance in the son of Jesse. To your tent, O Israel, now see to your own house, O David. So Israel departed to their tents, but Jeroboam reigned over children of Israel who dwelt in the cities of Judah. Shechem is located about 40 miles north of Jerusalem. It's right smack dab in the middle of the northern kingdom. It is a kind of historical place where Abraham dwelt, and as well as Jacob built an altar there and purchased the land there. And Joseph was buried there. So it is a very important place that continues to come back in during our studies. Ephraim and Manasseh, who are they? Ephraim and Manasseh, they are the two sons of Joseph. And they're not two sons of Joseph, but they are the one kind of thinking themselves as we are the leading tribe of the northern kingdom. And so they kind of resent the leadership of Judah. So when this thing happened, they are the one who initiate the kind of coup d'etat against the king, Rehoboam. Rehoboam went up to the Shechem, middle, instead of having an ordination from the at the middle of the Jerusalem downtown, he chose to go up to the Shechem, which is right smack dab in the middle of the kingdom. Somehow he think that it would bring the peace and unity of the northern and the southern kingdom. At this point, the kingdom was not divided yet. Solomon, the successor Rehoboam, occasionally made a good decision, but most of the time he was a foolish ruler. And his father saw that too. So keep your finger where you are. And let's go to Ecclesiastes chapter 2, please. Ecclesiastes is located right behind the Proverb. That would be 21st book that we are going to memorize, right? Chapter 2, verse 18. This is what the King Solomon says. Then I hated all my labor in which I had toiled under the sun, because I must leave it to the man who will come after me. And who knows whether he will be wise or fool. But he will rule over all my labors in which I toiled and in which I have shown myself wise under the sun. This also is vanity. You see, that Rehoboam's grandfather, who would that be? King David. If you guys don't understand, please stop me so we can make sure everybody understand here. King David, yeah. Solomon is his father. Solomon's father is King David, right? So Rehoboam's king, the grandfather is King David. He's the kind of king who would risk his own life for his people. He cared about them. He loved them. He took care of them. However, Rehoboam is not the case. Why? Because he learned from his father. Solomon, he's the kind of guy who enjoyed the extreme luxury, not just a regular luxury. He enjoyed extreme luxury. And he didn't care about taking care of people. He put the heavy yoke on them. He put the labor force on them. Out of 12 months, the people pretty much have to be away from their home for 4 months of the year. Because remember the rotation they had? They were gone all the time, exception of one tribe. Guess which tribe that was? Tribe of Judah. So all other tribes, 11 tribes, were working hard, exception of Judah. So people resent that thing. And now that Solomon is dead, there was Rehoboam did not have that charisma like his father had, or nor like his grandfather had. He was just another king. God warned Israel about this, about the king who takes so much. In 1 Samuel 8, 10 through 19, remember when the people came to Prophet Samuel, Judge Samuel, and asking, "We want a king like other nations." And God told them, "You have a king. God is your king." And they said, "Uh-uh. We want a human king like other nation. They want to be like other king, other nation." After warning, the people still wanted a king. Now they knew that it was like what it's like to have a king who ruled by the taking all the time. Contentment, please listen. Contentment only comes when God's will is more important than our wants. Did you notice this? It's not our needs, our wants. Contentment is only available when God's will is more important than our wants. I should underline verse 8. Note that word, verse 8, please. Rehoboam already had made up his mind before he asked these elders who stood before his father. When he heard their advice, he didn't like it because it didn't jive with his own decision. And so he was looking for somebody to agree with him. Is this something unique or it is common? It is common. See, people come to seek the counsel from the pastors or the Christian counselors. In many cases, they don't want to hear what God wants them to do. Rather, they want the pastors or counselors to agree with what they want to do. What they really want is God's blessing for their sinful decision. For example, I was talking with one person when we were attending Calvary Tucson, and they said, well, I think it's okay because we love each other. We can sleep together and then we can have sex together before marriage. I looked at him and was like, hello, where are you from, Mars? But he just wants the blessing. He ain't going to get that blessing. No godly pastor or Christian counselor were going to agree with them, so they shop around until they get the answer they like to hear from. Whether it's from liberal pastor or the Christian counselor, liberal Christian counselor, or even non-believers. Just to justify, it is unwise, dangerous, and ungodly way to get the counsel. Another thing that I want you to pay attention to is this one. When we hear the wise and godly counsel from the Lord through the godly people or from the Word of God in context, we must obey at all cost. If we don't obey, if we turn our deaf ear to God's instruction, there is a terrible consequences that we would regret for a long, long time. Isn't that true? Obviously, Rehoboam did not read his father's proverb. Let's go. Keep your finger on the First King again. Go to Proverbs 20th book. Proverbs chapter 15, please. Proverbs chapter 15, verse 1. Uno. I can speak Spanish. Are you laughing at my Spanish, Renee? My English? Hey, I speak English better than some of the American people. A soft answer turns away wrath, but harsh word stir up anger. Let's read one more time. A soft answer turn away wrath, but harsh word stir up anger. I figured it out why the husband and wife continuously argue, and sometimes they end up in a divorce court. They want to put the last word in. They want to express how they feel about the other person instead of saying, I'm sorry. If the one person says, I'm sorry, guess what? Usually fight stops there. If both sides say, you know what, let's not fight, let's pray, works better. But they continuously try to express how they feel about the other person. Guess what happened? There's an argument. There's a fight. It's not just husband and wife situation. Any argument. If we answer the other person with a soft answer, usually fight stop there. Bob talked with me this before we start. He was in the middle of between his company and his client, negotiating. That's a headache itself. And knowing Bob, probably he did a soft answer, give him a soft answer. Yeah. It's not easy, is it? Yes. In our heart, we like to take off the shoes like Khrushchev in the UN, bang the other person's head. But that's not what God expects. We ought to be different because we are Christian. His leadership, Jeroboam's leadership, is filled with pride. Folks, whenever there's a pride, there's a selfishness, there's self-centeredness, and there's no such a thing as a kindness or gentleness. Let's move down to the verse 18. This time, people of Judah obey the Lord. What a change, isn't it? Let's read how it happened. Then King Rehoboam sent Adoram, who was in charge of the revenue. In other words, he's the IRS man. He's the tax guy. But all Israel stoned him with the stones. So he was really high on stone. Funny, huh? That was a good joke, though. And he said, therefore, King Rehoboam mounted his chariot in haste to flee to Jerusalem. So Israel has been in the rebellion against the house of David to this day. Now it came to pass when all Israel heard Rehoboam had come back, they sent for him and called him to the congregation, made him a king over all Israel. There was none who followed the house of David, but the tribe of Judah only. And when the Rehoboam came to Jerusalem, he assembled all the house of Judah with the tribe of Benjamin, 180,000 chosen men who were warriors to fight against the house of Israel, that he might restore the kingdom to Rehoboam, the son of Solomon. But the word of God came to Shemaiah, the man of God, saying, speak to the Rehoboam, the son of Solomon, king of Judah, to all the house of Judah and Benjamin, and to the rest of the people, saying, thus says the Lord, you shall not go off nor fight against your brethren in the children of Israel. Let every man return to his house, for this thing is from me. That is capital M. That means it's from God. Therefore, they obeyed the word of the Lord and turned back according to the word of the Lord. Rehoboam sent this tax man called his Adoram again after he treated this Israeli people harshly. This guy just not getting it correctly. He treated them bad, and now he doesn't want the tax money from these people. It is no wonder why this IRS guy was stoned. See, Rehoboam had to follow the wrong counsel, and he made the wrong approach to the people, and he sent the wrong guy, wrong errand boy, to the people. You wonder, is there anything else he could do wrong? Yeah. He declared war against his own brethren. By the way, from this point, the history of Israel, in 10 tribes up in northern kingdom is known as Israel, and the southern kingdom with the tribe of Benjamin and Judah is known as Judah. So it will be distinctively known. Can I change the slide? Everybody got it? Let's look at the divided kingdom. This is the Philistine people, and this is Judea, also known as Judah. And here's Israel. They have a bigger kingdom, and it even goes to the east side of the Jordan kingdom. And it's Ammonites and Aram, also known as Syrian people. We'll come across them quite often. He's a prophet, Shemaiah, and we never heard of him before. We probably will never hear him again. He just showed up, declared the word of God, oracle of God, and he just disappeared and vanished. See, there's a difference, tremendous difference. while the priest representing and speak for the people to God, prophet speak to the people for God. He prophet is the one who is representing God to the people. So the priests are loved by the people because they bring their request to the God. However, prophets often are hated, even get killed, because people don't like to hear what God tells them. So they hate the messenger. They kill the messenger. As if they kill the messenger, the word is going to go away. In spite of this kind of danger, this man, Shemaiah, is the one who spoke the word of God to the king and had him to call off the war. Now, for yes.
This prophet's name, do you know what it means?
No, I didn't look at it. Shemaiah? Yeah, take a look at it. Usually the Israeli, the Jewish name has a meaning. I didn't look at the Shemaiah, the meaning of the Shemaiah. For a change, Rehoboam did not turn deaf ear to God. This time he obeyed. I can understand why he was rather quick to obey God, because his grandfather David was a man of, he's a warrior. What about Solomon? No, he was not a warrior. He was a kind of smart guy, but that stops there. Kind of, nowadays, he would be considered as a computer geek and stop there. Got, you know, guy with the pants coming up here, pocket protector, and with a band-aid in the middle between the two glasses. They cannot fight because they don't know how to fight. It's not like they don't want to fight. They don't know how to fight. This guy's the Solomon nor the Rehoboam, they are not the warriors. So they realize that it's best not to fight since I don't know how to fight. Verse 25, this time we find another king who turned a deaf ear to God. When the Rehoboam built a Shechem in the mountains of Ephraim and dwelt there, and also he went out from there and built the Peniel. And on the line next phrase, please. Jeroboam said in his heart. Underline that, please. Jeroboam said in his heart, now the kingdom may return to the house of David if the people go up to offer sacrifice in the house of the Lord at Jerusalem. Then heart of this people will turn back to their Lord, Rehoboam, the king of Judah. And they will kill me and go back to Rehoboam, king of Judah. Verse 28, on the line, the first portion, please. Therefore, the king asked advice. Therefore, king asked advice. May the two calves of gold said to the people, it is too much for you to go up to Jerusalem. Here are your gods, O Israel, which brought you up from the land of Egypt. And he set up the one in the Bethel. What's the meaning of Bethel, remember? Any of you guys remember? Very good, Renee. God will give you extra points for that. And the other he put it in Dan. Now this thing that became a sin, for the people went up to worship before the one as far as Dan. Verse 31. He made a shrine on the high places and made a priest from every class of people who were not of the sons of Levi. Note the word, please. Jeroboam ordained the feast on the 15th day of 8th month, like a feast that was in Judah, and offered sacrifice on the altar. So he did at Bethel, sacrificing to the calf that he had made. At Bethel, he installed a priest of the high places, which he had made. So he made an offering on the altar which he had made on Bethel on the 15th day and 18th month, that's good. And the month which he has devised in his own heart, he ordained a feast for the children of Israel. and offer a sacrifice on the altar and burn incense. Did Jeroboam trust God's promise? Remember the Ahijah, the prophet who met him in the field. If you do this, if you follow God's commandment, God will give you the lasting kingdom. Did he follow him? No, he did not follow him. One of the first evidence of unbelief is a fear. One of the first evidence of unbelief is a fear, and we get our eyes off from the Lord and start looking at the circumstance. Who do you remember as a good example in the New Testament, in the gospel message? Peter, what did he do? Yeah, he was walking on the water and he turned, instead of keeping his eyes on Jesus, he turned and looked at the what? Waves. Whenever we take the eyes off from Jesus and looking at something else because we had a fear about what if, guess what happened? Our face is out the window. Please note that the word in the verse 26, I asked you on the line, Jeroboam said in his heart, and verse 28, therefore the king asked for advice. I find that Jeroboam committed two sins right there. First thing I find is Jeroboam said to himself, what's the big deal about that? Let's go keep your finger again here. 1 Samuel chapter 27, verse 1. This time we are going to look at the David. If you are familiar with the chapter 1 Samuel, you will note that in chapter 26, he just had a chance to kill King Saul, who has been chasing him up and down the Israel, anywhere to kill David. Of course, God put these people in the sleep, and David's sidekick, not Joab, huh? Not Jonathan. No, Shimei. No, not Shimei. Anyway, one of those Jewish name. He went snuck into the tent where everybody's sleeping. King Saul was sleeping there, and his Abner was sleeping right next to him, and his spear is stuck in the ground. And all around these sleeping warriors, these two guys arguing each other, and his David's sidekick said, let me just add him. Just one time, stab him into the ground. There won't be a second time. Make a good shikabah here, right here. And David said, no, you will not touch God's anointed. So he took the water jug and spear. Remember that? And took it up to the hills, and the King Saul, old Abner, he called out Abner, how come you are neglecting your duty? Where is your king's spear and the water jug? And the King Saul got up and said, pulling his slip off from his eyes, and he said, is that you, my son? And you spared my life again. That was great spiritual victory for David. Right after great spiritual victory, what did he do? He spoke to himself. Let's go back there, verse 1 of chapter 27. Now David said in his heart, was he consulting with God? Was he talking to his priest? Was he talking to his people? No, he was talking to all by himself. He said, now I shall perish someday by the hand of Saul. Didn't God just spare him right in the smack dab in the middle of the enemy tent? He did. There's nothing better for me than that I should speedily escape to the land of where? Where? Does it make sense to you? Why don't I just join my enemies? If I hang around with my enemies, Saul will not kill me. Brilliant strategy, isn't it? It's like all of us thinking, I'm going through such a rough time, why don't I just join devil? Maybe I won't go through so much problem. Duh, right? Folks, as long as we choose not to seek God's instruction, devil will do anything to accommodate our excuses. Let me repeat this one more time. As long as we choose not to seek the God's instruction, the devil will do anything to accommodate our excuses. Good example, Jonah. Remember him? The guy who, when he was thinking head to head, toe to toe with God, when God said, go to where? Nineveh. He chose to go where? Tarshish. They are opposite side. The Tarshish is literally, during that time, is the end of the earth. You go, if you pass the Tarshish, you fall off the earth. Go to Nineveh. I'm going this way. When he went to the Joppar, there was a boat. Wow. It just, how many of us think that way? When God, there is a door opening, we'll go in because it must be God is there. Well, if that's the case, Jonah went to Joppa and there's a boat. Do they have a ticket for this boat? Oh yeah, there's a ticket right in front of him. So he bought the ticket. And he got in the boat. At the he went down to the bottom of the ship. So he went on a nice bon voyage cruise. Was it? It was anything but bon voyage. It was rough. When they found out he was a prophet who was running from God, runaway prophet, they tossed him over the board. He went down to the bottom of sea. And he went gulped by the big fish and went down to the bottom of the sea. Whenever we go against God, guess what happened to us? We go down and down and down. Whenever we go against God, we have to pay our own expense. And you might think, well, what happened to Apostle Paul? He end up in the Roman and as a prisoner, yeah, all expense paid by Roman government, but the Jonah had to pay for it. If we are in God's will, God will take care of it. Remember what I said before when we studied the book of Exodus? When Moses tried to deliver the people of Israel with his own strength, he couldn't even kill one Egyptian and hide him in the sand well. But when he was with God, he buried the entire Egyptian army in the sea. As long as we are with God, we can do mighty things. But as long as we are refusing to follow God, the devil will do anything to accommodate our excuses. That is so important. Second thing I find here is he sought after the advice that would confirm his own decision. Just like a Rehoboam, he was shopping around to confirm his decision. He sought after advice, but he was not really looking for somebody to say, no, king, that's not the right thing to do. You cannot make another idol. You have to follow God. No, he wouldn't listen to that kind of thing. His idolatry, this is his idolatry starting point, and it will continue in the kingdom of Israel, northern kingdom, until they were taken to the Babylon and captives. Great theologian Jack Laverty always said this, in the southern kingdom, the Judah, there was a good king, bad king, and a good king. Once in a blue moon, there were good kings. In the northern kingdom, guess what? None good kings. The fact of this divided kingdom was not something people tried to make it. It was done by God. It was done by God because he saw the big picture. And why didn't he just allow Jeroboam to take over the entire country? Remember, Rehoboam has to be there to give a lineage to who? Jesus. To accommodate the spiritual need, this gracious, generous king Jeroboam decided that these people had to travel all the way down to, remember the picture? Let's go back to the map, if I can find it. There it is. Here's a Jerusalem. Here's a Shechem. They had to travel all the way down here. And all the instead of that, why don't we just make a Bethel here and Dan here? Dan up here. Why don't we make two separate temples where they can worship this golden calf? And if that's not enough, why don't we set up a bunch of high places on every hilltop so the people can worship? Besides, why just limit the priesthood to the sons of Levites? Anyone wants to be a priest? You're on. Is that what God wants? Is that what man wants? It sounds like a generous offer, but it is not what God had in mind. Jeroboam turned his back on the most important message given to the Israeli people in Mount Sinai. You shall not have any other God before me. Remember, first one of the Ten Commandments? This is the place that you will, if you go to the Israel, up here, literally, from here, if you travel about quarter miles, you can see the Lebanon border. It's that close to the border. It's northern side of the king. The Israeli. This is an exact duplication size-wise. Size-wise is the exact duplication as Solomon's king temple. That is in Jerusalem. He had to make this duplicated thing to show that we have our own temple. You don't have to travel down there. This, folks, what the Jeroboam wanted the people to do is he wanted them to have something tangible they can see, they can touch, and they can worship instead of this invisible God. However, listen, hearing his word is what generates faith. And the faith enables us to obey, but most people don't want to live by faith. They rather live by sight and gratify their senses. We should walk by faith, not by sight, right? But to them, they rather walk by faith as walk by sight instead of by faith. This kind of attitude still remains and still works. Can I change it? The desire of most people is for religion is the convenient, not too costly to us. Inconvenient, and close enough to the real Christian faith to be comfortable for the conscience sake. We live today in the age when the people's choice religion is popular and approved and accepted. Is that a good word, people's choice religion? I made it up. Thank you. I'm going to read an article for you guys. There's a nurse named Sheila Lawson who mentioned about her religion. And this kind of sums up the attitude of the majority of Americans. You can read it here. I believe in God. I'm not a religious fanatic. That's good, right? I cannot remember the last time I went to church. My faith has carried me a long way. It's a Sheilaism. Just my own little voice. Pick as you go. Guided by this little voice. Make your own faith, make your own religion, make your own God. So after all, who is her God? Herself. In 1950s, I used to enjoy that particular magazine. I really like that magazine because it has a great photos. Life magazine. Remember? And then, somewhere around 70s, they came up with a new magazine, with a different title, Us, U.S. magazine. And then, somewhere around early 90s, they came up with another magazine, Self. Do you see the trend? From life in general, to help other people work together, to us. And then, self. I can see that another new magazine coming with a new title. Me, my, myself, I. No matter what people do, our God reigns. There is only one way to salvation. It's through Jesus Christ. You cannot change the truth. It remains as is. We'll make application number one. We need to learn to recognize the voice of our God through the Word of God. In context. Don't forget that. In context. Oh, I forgot to highlight one of those colors. Huh, sorry. Second application, we have to ask ourselves, how often do we turn our deaf ear to our God because we don't like what we hear from Him? I've done that before. I hope I never do it. Probably I will do it again. I know myself. But hopefully not a whole lot. Third application, when we hear that the wise and godly comes from the Lord through godly people or from the Word of God in context, we must obey at all cost. Turning deaf ear to the God's instruction has a terrible consequences that we would regret for a long, long, long time. Is it worth it? Is it worth it? Can't hear you. No, that's not. All right, let's stand up and pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the Word. It is our desire not to turn our deaf ear to your Word, to your instruction, to your guidance. Let us be sensitive to hear from you, from the Holy Spirit, that we may follow you with all of our heart and mind and soul to glorify your name. Guide us with your strong, righteous right arm, that we may live for you. We may be sensitive to you and insensitive to the world. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you.